Psalm 55. Give ear to my prayer, O God. Don't hide yourself from my begging. Attend to me, hear me, because I am crying in my complaint and making a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of how the wicked oppress me. For they put iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is really pained inside me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I could fly away and be at rest. Then I would go far away and remain in the desert. I would quickly escape from the windy storm and the tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. So there's David getting really beat up, and he prays for God to deliver him from his enemies, and he asks God to divide their tongues and destroy them. Well, that's exactly what God did at the Tower of Babel. They built this great big tower, but God divided their languages so that they couldn't understand each other, and so the thing stopped, and that was how that terrible thing came to be judged. And so division is always God's judgment. And if we argue amongst ourselves, then and we divide amongst ourselves, then we are really living out our own judgment. Whereas if we are spiritual people, we will be united. So division is judgment. Day and night, he says, they go about the walls. They're always planning mischief, and there is therefore sorrow in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the middle of it. Deceit is continually on her streets. If it was not an enemy who reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it one of my enemies who magnified himself against me. Then I would have just hidden from him. But it was you, a man, my equal, my guide, my friend. We took sweet counsel together, and we walked together in fellowship into the house of God. Well, I think this is David at the time when his son Absalom has risen up against him. And a lot of people whom David had previously trusted in as people who were helping him run the country, they turned against him. And one of them was Ahithophel, who was his chief counselor or advisor. This was the person he sat down with and really had a good heart-to-heart chat with, and whom he really respected. Well, this man turned right against David and stood up for Absalom, his son, and wanted to kill David. Now, this Ahithophel was the grandfather of Bathsheba, who David had run off with when she was married to Uriah and had killed Uriah. So it's not surprising, I suppose, that he turned against David. But the point is that David felt very betrayed. And you can see how David is a type of Jesus, because, of course, Jesus had the same experience with Judas, that it was someone who was very close to him who turned against him. And so David says, let death seize upon them. Let them go down quickly into the grave, for wickedness is in their houses. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening, morning, and at noon, at lunchtime, will I pray and cry aloud, and he will hear my voice. So regular prayer is important. In David's case, at this time, when he's running away for his life from Absalom and Ahithophel, he says evening, morning, and lunchtime. So it is a good thing to have a habit of regular prayer. Now another time, David says 7 times a day, I praise you. So it's good to pray in the mornings and the evenings, and I think also in the midst of the day. And once when I was working in a very demanding situation, I literally had so little time that all I could do was at lunchtime to literally go into the toilet and sit on the toilet for a few minutes and pray. It's good to have these habits. This is what spiritual life is all about, because our nature is inclined to just wander away from God. So he says to God, he's delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them. he who has been faithful from old time. Because they do not repent and they do not fear God. He has put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. So he's reflecting here how Ahithophel was all nicey-nicey to him, when actually he was planning to do something awful. And he says that his words were in fact like swords. And very often David talks about how the words of people are like a razor, or they're like swords or spears. We've got to keep on reminding ourselves that how we speak, the language we use, is really important to God. Because we can really, really hurt people by how we speak. You can really hurt people by your words. And you see this in the case of Job being so hurt by the words of his friends. You see it with David at this time, and very often in the Psalms, he was very sensitive to words, and in fact everybody is really. And Jesus says, by your words you will be judged, and by your words you will be justified. So it's important that we do speak rightly, because again, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. So our words do reflect our thoughts. And what God is most interested in is who we are when nobody's looking, what we're really thinking about. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be moved, but you, O God, will bring them down into the pit of destruction. Deceitful men of blood will not live out even half their days, but I will trust in you. Well, what happened was that Absalom and the men with him were defeated, and Absalom, David's son, was killed, and they threw his body into a pit. Well, this is just what David is praying here. Bring these people down into the pit of destruction. Well, when that happened, David was very upset. Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for you. So you've got to be careful what you pray for, because you really will get it in some form or another. So here's David, obviously very shocked and upset, and he's saying, oh God, kill these people, throw them into the pit of destruction. But then when it actually happens to Absalom, he's terribly upset. And so God will give us really what is our heart's desire in one way or another. You may say, oh, but I want to be rich. I want to have a fantastic car. Why didn't God give it to me? Well, probably because in your heart of hearts, that's not seriously what your passion is. But if our desire above all things, more than anything else, is to be in God's kingdom, then he will see that. If our desire is to serve him, is to please him, then he will enable us to do so in his wisdom.